How can we help our patients manage uncertainty, especially when we know there's so little certainty in the world? Well, according to Dr. Michael Yapko, part of tolerating uncertainty involves the skill of seeing a situation from multiple perspectives. In the next 5 minutes, Michael will give you a case study where he's helped his patient to see a painful relationship from a completely new angle. But how did he do it? And what was the result? I'll let Michael share that with you now.
So being able to tolerate uncertainty means being able to recognize plausible multiple interpretations. So I'll use homework assignments to drive that point home, that when something happens, I want you to generate at least 3 plausible interpretations for that event. And when something else happens, generate at least 3 more plausible reasons why that happens. Something as simple as you call somebody and they don't call you back right away. What do we know? We know they didn't call you back right away. Why do you think they didn't call you back? One person says, because they don't like me anymore. And they believe it. And then they sink into despair, feeling rejected and hurt. And I've got to help them understand you don't know that. There can be lots of reasons why they didn't call you back. Maybe you're right about that. Maybe they don't like you anymore. But maybe they didn't get the message. Maybe their kid pulled the message off the machine and never gave it to them. Maybe they got home and they were too depressed to call anybody. Maybe. I was treating a man who happened to be a very successful attorney, even though he didn't feel that way. He was an attorney. I liked him anyway. And his issue was that he grew up with a very, very critical father, the kind of father who, if you did something right, he never commented on it. If you did something wrong, he was all over you. And so for him, my client, he was earnestly attached to the idea of getting his father's approval. So all his life, he had been doing things to get his father's approval. So while other kids were out playing, he's hanging around dad, seeing if there's things that he can do to help his dad with this chore or that chore. In high school, other kids are out playing and doing sports. He's hanging around his dad, waiting to be noticed. He was very, very bright, graduated class valedictorian. His dad didn't even go to the high school graduation. So he was always feeling, you know, empty that his father didn't approve of him, and he'd keep doing things and doing things and doing things to get his father's approval. He goes to college. Everybody else turns into a party animal. He's studying. He's getting grades. Eventually, he decides he wants to become an attorney like his father. No surprise there. Goes to law school, graduates law school. The guy's brilliant. He comes out of law school and says to his dad, I want to join your law practice. His dad says, I'm retiring. I'll sell you the practice. He buys his dad's law practice. And the first thing that he does to put his own stamp on the practice is he computerizes everything. Now there's monitors all over the office. There's the ability to access cases with all kinds of sophisticated law programs. And he's very proud of how high-tech he's made the office. This time he's sure he's going to get dad's approval. Brings dad in to show him everything that he had done and how great the office was now with all this new high-tech stuff. And instead of his dad saying, wow, I'm really impressed and I'm really proud of you, his dad turned on him again and said, what the hell kind of an attorney are you going to be? You're going to let your computers do your thinking for you? That's not judgment. That's not the practice of law. I practiced law for 40 years and I never had a computer. He was devastated. So when he tells me this story as indicative of what drove him in to come see me, drove his depression, he's telling me the story, and he's expecting me to be all deeply empathetic. And instead, I kind of shocked him when I leaned over and practically yelled at him, give me $1 million. And he's puzzled because it came out of nowhere. And then I said it again, give me $1 million. And he said, he stammers and says, well, I don't have $1 million. I said, give me $1 million. Give me $1 million. And I kept coming at him. And he's confused because he knows there's a reason why I'm doing this. He's trying to figure out what I'm doing. He's perplexed. He's getting agitated. He's the escalation of what is going on here. And finally, in around 12, he gets it, that I'm asking him for something he doesn't have. And it became the perfect way to describe to him, the fact that you want your dad's approval is not the problem. The fact that he's not capable of giving it, that's the problem. You're asking him for something he doesn't have. So I gave him the homework assignment. I want you to go out and I want you to ask people for things you know they don't have. Can I borrow your yacht for the weekend? Can you rent me Hawaii? Will you give me the deed to the White House? And asking people for things that they don't have. In the span of a week, everything changed for this guy. Instead of feeling sorry for himself, he started feeling sorry for his dad. He came to understand the problem wasn't him. The problem was his father's limitation. It became a real clear cut. This isn't about me. It's about my dad. And all of that anger and frustration and all of that just literally melted away. And every time he stopped to ask people for things that he knew they didn't have, it just kept reinforcing the message that you just can't ask people for things they don't have. And it just made it so easy to then have the conversation with them. How would you have felt if you were asking people for things you thought they had, the same way you thought your dad had approval, only to discover that he didn't? And it was a huge, huge turning point for him, made all the difference in the world.
When we help to reframe a client's story, we finally get a bit more space to see the problem from new angles. And with a bit more distance, we get a much fuller view. This can loosen a client's grip on a way of seeing a relationship that is no longer serving them.